I didn't even pay any attention that there was a... I apologize. I'm very old school because, you know, I'm old. So I have to have a pulpit because I have a Bible and I've got things and things and things and things. I'm grateful to be back here in the Presbyterian Church. I was allowed to be here for 2 years and 2 months as the guest speaker. It said guest speaker out there for 2 years and 2 months. And so I'm thrilled to be here today with you all. So thank you, Jonathan, for allowing me to be here. Before I launch into all of the sermon things, we at the Access would like to thank this congregation. As Jonathan said, we have many, many supporters right here amongst us. Carol Early and Kathy Wright come every single week, one on Monday and one on Friday, and they help us with the after-school program. They did it throughout the summer, and we could not do the after-school program or the summer program without our volunteers. Also, Carol Early and Leanne George are substitutes at the Access Learning Academy. And so if there's ever a time where either Liz or I can't be there, those are the names I go to first, and I have a couple others down a little bit farther, but we are grateful for both Leanne and Carol. Leanne and Linda Gable are also wonderful supporters of this past summer of our backpack school supply giveaway. And in the past, we've also, Judy Wagner's been there, and I know that there are countless others of you that have come to help us fill backpacks and distribute those. And then Bob Yagi is also on our board of directors, so we're grateful for that. Sometime in the last few months, and I don't exactly remember when, Kathy Wright had a wonderful idea to help our organization because Liz and I have a lot of similarities, and not being tidy and neat is one of them. And so Kathy would look underneath our desk where we just would like cram things when we needed, and she contacted Bob Lewis and said, Bob, do you think you could help these poor women because they are in desperate need? And so Bob came in and built a shelving unit for us underneath our desks. And so thank you both, Bob and Kathy, as the authors of the beginning of our organization. We try, especially if we know Kathy's coming, we try to clean it up a little bit better. And I would be incredibly remiss if I didn't also acknowledge the Presbyterian women who donate a portion of the spaghetti dinner to us occasionally. And we are, as much as we wish we didn't have to raise money, not for profit, we need the money somewhere. So we have to keep buying those things and keeping the lights on. And so we thank you very much. And I know I'm missing people who donate financially, who donate physically, Judy Wagner has this incredible knack of knowing, I bet they're almost out of paper towels. And so I can't tell you how many paper towels and how much toilet paper we go through. It is massive. And Judy is constantly bringing us some paper towels. So thank you so much. We appreciate you all more than you know. And I think there are several other congregations that support us, but you all are in the top two. So we couldn't do what we do without you. Thank you. I've also been pleased and excited to be part of the women's book study that meets on Fridays. I inherited that from Mike Dunkelberger, who was here before me, and we met at MODOC's at the time. And then as MODOC's got busier and my hearing got worse, we needed a place that wasn't quite so busy, and so we moved into the Dixon Room. About a year ago, we were in the Dixon Room, and as we were studying, I said, I usually keep a Bible in my bag, and I'd taken it out for something. And I saw over on the shelves a Bible that looked, and I said, oh, there's one. I'll grab it. I said, I have one just like this. And I opened it up, And it was this one, which is mine. Woohoo! This Bible is so important to me. First of all, it was given to me as a birthday present from my sister. And we had no idea, obviously, at the time when she bought it. But it was given to me on my birthday that was also my father's funeral. And so I love having this with me. And it's filled with little pieces of paper from every congregation I have served. And in the very back is a flyer. When I was with one church, we had a young man who ran away, and so we had posted flyers up. And in the very back of my Bible, that's also falling apart, here's the runaway flyer for our friend Rob, but on the very back of it is the note from his aunt to say, just let you know he came home last night. And so this young man now, this happened years ago, and this young man now is an incredible father and husband and son and brother and son-in-law to some marvelous people. And so it's just those little tiny pieces. But even in the midst of this scripture, in this Bible, it's also been used for many, many Bible studies. When I was at the United Methodist Church, we had a Bible series that lasted for 30 weeks, and I got to lead it many, many times, and this Bible was with me. And so, as I was looking at the scriptures in the lectionary text for this Sunday, I noticed that in Ephesians, that the scripture that was listed, one of my all-time favorite scriptures, but as I read through Ephesians, I started in chapter 1, and I just looked at what I have underlined. One of the reasons this book is so special to me, listen to these verses from the Apostle Paul. I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Later on in verse 1, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great love. I love that phrase, the eyes of your heart be enlightened. In chapter 2, I have underlined, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. I bet you were hoping you knew where that was in the Bible, right? Because you probably know that. In chapter 3, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with a power through his Holy Spirit. And then just a few verses below that, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know that the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then we get to chapter 4. And this is where we start today. In the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 25. Hear the words of the Lord. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing rather than let them, thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. That was your cue, Jonathan, to do the... Thank you. That's where it came from. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This whole book of Ephesians is about community. It's about living in community and being each other's neighbors and friends and being so close that we can feel each other's hurt and pain. When we hear today that the Duffy family has lost a beloved member, it touches our heart. We know what that feels like to lose members of our family, and we know what that feels like to lose a sibling. And so we pray with them and we feel with them. We are a community. It's no mistake that God created the church to be community, to live together. And I know we can be Christians without being a member of a church, and yet we miss something so rich and so important when we do that. We miss that feeling that we belong, not just to the major church, but to this small one. Not just to this small one, but to the major church around the world. And I believe that it even helps us understand our brothers and sisters who aren't Christian, and to be able to worship together with them in their places of worship too. It helps us see that we're so much more alike than we ever are different. It helps us to see that we have one God. This passage speaks of anger. Be angry, but do not sin. Well, it starts out with really good news. It's okay for me to be angry. It says so right here. Be angry. But like Paul often does, he follows that up very quickly. But do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Often we've used that passage or that phrase or that sentiment to give to couples and to people in relationships to say, you're not supposed to go to bed angry. Solve your problems. And that's wonderful and that's good. But I think we also sometimes miss that it's true for all of us. It's not just for a family. It's for every single one of us. Because of our community, we are family together. And so for all of us, we're not supposed to let the sun go down on our anger. Brené Brown has a quote that says, anger becomes an acceptable substitute for fear, which is forbidden. In our society, we're not allowed to be afraid of anything, but where it's fine to be angry. And yet still, we have to tag it on to don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, is it okay to be angry and to do it in a loving way? Where does our anger take us and where does it come from? Is anger that piece of me that really is afraid of something and so I really just want to lash out and I don't want to have to control myself? I just want to be mad? Sometimes it is. Maybe it's that way with you as well. Maybe. As I was doing research for this sermon, I was going through a lot of different sources, and I was reading this one I thought was excellent exposition on what part of this means, and I got to the bottom and realized it was a friend of mine from seminary. And he said, we speak of what we should be and do, but we never really work on how we arrive at being and doing. If I pair that with what Brené Brown says, that maybe our anger sometimes is our fear or other emotions that are sometimes unacceptable, and with my friend Roy's quote, that what we really need to do is think about how we arrive at being and doing. How do we do this better? Maybe that's where we need to go. It's not about the anger, it's about what we do with it. It's not about the anger, it's about how it makes us a better person. Is that possible? Jesus was angry, says so in Scripture. He was angry at his disciples. He was angry at the people who were making the temple a marketplace. But each time he was angry, it was not about him personally. It was about what they needed to do. The disciples needed to stay awake and to listen and to pay attention and to learn these lessons, because soon Jesus wouldn't be with them and they would have to do it on their own. Do you understand how important this is? He was saying to the disciples. Do you understand that soon you won't have me here to answer your questions? When he was in the temple and upturning the tables of the money changers, he was saying, look what you've done to my Father's house, the community where we gather, the family of God where we are together, and you've turned it into a marketplace. It wasn't about him personally. It was about what they were doing to God, but also to everyone gathered around. So maybe what we really need to do is to look to see how we can strengthen the community through our anger. Do we look at our anger and say, is this right? Is this what I'm so angry about? Is this a right thing? And if so, do I really care about it enough to do something? Because to tell you the truth, there are some things that make me really angry. Little traffic cones in the middle of 24. I got to get there faster. I can't be behind this person who's actually going the speed limit. That makes me angry, but not enough to do something about it. Enough to say, Laura, maybe you're the one that has the issue here. And whether you arrive now or 10 minutes earlier, it's really not going to matter. Slow your roll. Calm down. But if I really do care, if I do care about the children who go to bed hungry, if I do care about the people who can't find a job that can give them enough money to support their family, if I do care about the way that the government spends money that I think is not correct, am I willing to do something about it? One of my former youth group kids is an activist in Indianapolis, and she works for a company that on a regular basis posts what's happening in the legislature. She's with the legislature all the time, and she's constantly looking and watching. This is where you said your money was going, but now we've discovered that it's really going here. That's not acceptable. I'm so proud of her. And she's a person who has used her anger and done exactly that. She cares about it, and she's doing something about it. I'm so thrilled to know her, but also it makes me feel a little guilty. I don't do those things, and yet I'm still as angry as she is about some of them. So I think that's what this passage says. I can be angry, but in not sinning, I'm doing something about what I care about. How about you? Can you let your anger direct what you do each and every time so that it's not to hurt someone, not to avenge a wrong, not to degrade someone, not to make someone feel powerless and not in control? Or do you do it to make situations better? I think that's what this is saying. It's okay to be angry, But once we cross the line, then as this follows along, we make room for the devil. Anytime we're hurtful, we're vengeful, we make others feel powerless. If we're really family and if we're really community, as Paul says in the book of Ephesians, then how do we build up and not tear down? Well, in the midst of all of this, in the midst of this pericope that we read today in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through chapter 5, verse 2, there's also something incredibly exciting. Hear the good news. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. God's forgiveness, God the Father. Chapter 5, verse 2, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Christ's self-sacrifice. If we're put on this earth to be little Christs, how do we sacrifice for our immediate family, for our church family, for our community, for our world? God the Father, God the Son in Christ. And then chapter 4, or verse 4, excuse me. No, I was right the first time. Chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit marks us with a seal. God the Father forgives. God the Son, Jesus Christ, shows us by his self-sacrifice. And God the Holy Spirit marks a seal on us. The Holy Trinity is right here in this verse. God is teaching us about community by showing us God's self. God in three persons, the Blessed Trinity. Can we do the same? There are times when maybe we need to show someone forgiveness. There are times when we need to sacrifice ourselves. And there are times, even though we can't put a seal on each other, we can enfold each other and mark each other with the wrap by wrapping our arms around us. We can emulate God. And I believe that's what we're called to do. It's as simple as that. Just be like God. It's a ridiculous sounding sentence because that seems impossible. And Paul almost says it tongue in cheek. Just be like God and you're okay. And yet, Jesus Christ shows us each and every day how we can walk with each other, how we can help each other, how we can support each other, not only here, but around the world. I apologize, Jonathan, if I step on. I noticed that yesterday Jonathan posted on Facebook that the Presbyterian Church in South Sudan is calling today a day of prayer for peace. Sustainable peace. And they call for everyone. They even said, whether you're Christian or not, please pray with us. They're calling us into community. They're calling us to say our lives are to the point where we need prayer, and that's the only thing that will bring us peace. Well, we have something to do now. Do we care? Do we care enough to join our hearts with them? Do we care enough to look around our neighborhood to see what injustices are here and work to fix them? Do we care to look at our own families and see how we can heal and be whole? With God's love and support, may it be so. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.